بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الغم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. This is our second session on the commentary of Father رحمة الله عليه on الباب الحادي عشر. In the first session, we introduced the book, we introduced Allama Hilli, and we also managed to read the foreword or the introduction by Fadil Mehdar. So now we want to actually start the book itself. So what inshallah we will do, we will read the main text by Allama Hilli, and then the commentary by Faisal Mehdad. So, the text of Allama Hilli is as follows. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Babul Hadi Ashar. Fima yajibu ala ammatil mukallafin. من معرفة أصول الدين. The 11th section on what is obligatory upon all mukallafin, all the people who are responsible, religiously responsible, with respect to knowing principles of religion. Okay? So that type of knowledge, which is compulsory, which is obligatory, that every mukallaf should have. Okay? So, this is just the title of the discussion. And before we move on, we explain this, and then we read remaining part of the text. So we go little by little. Now let's see what is the explanation of this phrase. Is it clear? Because this is the first time we are reading this, so I hope everyone understands. So this much was from Allama Hilli. Now we want to read the text from Fadil Mehdar. It's one line. Or, yes. قال قدس الله روحه. Allama Hilli said. So قال means قال Allama Hilli. Yes. May Allah sanctify, purify, or keep with glory his spirit. So it's a prayer that he's doing for Allama Hilli. Okay? Is it clear? Okay, so when I die, inshallah, when you quote something from me, also remember me with a kind of dua. Al-Babul Hadi Ashar. So, Agul. Then he says, I say this. So, Qala means the first person, means Allama Hilli, we call Musannif, the author. Agulo means the commentator. Innama summiya hadha al-bab al-hadiya ashar. Innama, what does innama mean? Pardon? That's inna. Innama. Pardon? Innama shows its exclusiveness. Yeah, it's adatul hasr. Innama means this is the case and nothing else. Like innama waliyyukumullah wa rasuluhu wa al-mu'minun. If it was inna waliyyakumullah, doesn't show hasr, but when it said innama, it shows hasr. Okay, it's exclusiveness. As I said, we want to also get experience of reading and analyzing Arabic classic texts. So, although for the sake of understanding kalam, we don't need to discuss this much about the term, but I think it's important so that inshallah you would soon be able to read these texts very easily and inshallah smoothly. إنما سمي هذا الباب الحادي عشر. The only reason why this section is called the 11th is this. So now we want to say why this is called the 11th section. I ask a question, I don't expect you to answer, but if you answer, it's very good. What is Al-Hadi Ashar in this sentence? From a syntax point of view, from Nahvi point of view, what is Al-Hadi Ashar?
11th.
Why I read it Mansub, Al-Hadi Ashar?
It gives reason to Sumia, why it was Sumia.
It's tamiz.
Sumia needs one fa'il, which is indeed not a fa'il, yeah, which used to be the object. So the first object became now subject. Now the fa'il. The second object has remained as object. So it is coming with two objects. I call this. It needs two maf'ul. So the first maf'ul, when you make it passive, the first maf'ul becomes subject, the second maf'ul remains as maf'ul. Okay? So this is the reason why it is mansub. So the reason why this section is called Al-Hadi Ashar, the 11th, is this. لَأَنَّ الْمُصَنِّفِ, because the author, Musannif is the one who compiles, who writes, the author. اِخْتَسَرَ, summarized, مِصْبَاهَ الْمُتَهَجِّدِ. مِصْبَاهَ الْمُتَهَجِّدِ is the name of the book. So, our author, Allama Hilli, summarized the book Misbah al-Mutahajjid. To whom does Misbah al-Mutahajjid belong? Alladhi wada'ahu Shaykh Abu Ja'far al-Tusi, rahmatullah. The Misbah is the book which was authored, which was compiled by Sheikh Abu Ja'far al-Tusi. Sheikh al-Tusi, Sheikh al-Ta'ifa, a very great scholar who has the book Tahzib, Istibsar, two of the four Kutub al-Arba'ah belong to him. He has Tibyan in Tafsir al-Quran. So in dua he has Misbahul Mutahajjid, which literally means the light or the lantern for the one who does tahajjud. So,
wada'a.
Pardon? Wada'a. Wada'a means compiled, made. So, our musannif, our author, summarized the book Misbahul Mutahajjid, which was organized, which was compiled by Shaykh Tusi, fil ibadat wal ad'iyah. This shows the subject of Misbah al-Mutahajjid. Misbah al-Mutahajjid was about dua, supplications. Well, adab, manners, and ibadat, worships, this type of ibadat and adiyah, you know, how to do salatul layl, how to do salatul jum'ah, this type of things. Like mafatih, you know, we have mafatih. ورتب ذلك المختصر على عشرة أبواب. When Allama Hilli summarized Misbah al-Mutahajjid by Shaykh Tusi, he organized it, rattaba. Rattaba means organized it in 10 sections. وَسَمَّاهُ and called it. How many objects we need for Samma? Samma, Yusami, as I said, needs two objects. Samma, ho, this is the ho is the first object. Kitaba, Minhaj Salam. It's two maf'ul, you know? Coming with two maf'ul, two objects. So he called that summarized version Minhaj Salah fi Mukhtasar al Misbah. So Allama Hilli rahmatullah alayh called that summarized version Minhaj Salah. Minhaj means path. Path. Path, path. Road, path. Salah means righteousness. Fi Mukhtasar al Misbah. In a kind of summary of Misbah. Okay. وَلَمَّا كَانَ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ فِي فَنِّ الْعَمَلِ وَالْعِبَادَاتِ وَالدُّعَاءِ. And because this book, which book?
Misbah al-Mutahajjid.
Misbah, yes, but very much so the summary, the brief. Because this summary, which was the summary of Misbah, was about practice, amal, ibadat, worships, about dua, supplication. Istad'a dhalika ila ma'rifat al-ma'bud wal-mad'uv. That required. Istad'a, what does it mean? Required. It was in need of knowing the one who is worshipped. Yes? Mm-hmm. When you are talking about acts of worship, you should know who is the one that you want to worship. When you talk about dua, to call, so who is mad'uv? Who is the one that you want to call? Mad'uv means the one who is called. Ma'bud, the one who is worshipped. So, because logically, there was a need for knowing God who is worshipped and called, so he decided to add the 11th section by himself. This was not in the main book, but he added this and he called it Al-Babul Hadi Ashar. Lamma kana dhalika al-kitab fi fann al-amali wal-ibadati wal-du'a. Because that book was about fan. Fan, what does fan mean? Fan here means science, discipline. Because it was about the discipline, about practice and worship and dua, supplication. Istad'a dhalik. This required ma'rifat al-ma'bud. Knowing the one who is worshipped. Mad'uf, the one who is called. فَأَضَافَ إِلَى إِلَيْهِ. So he added to this book, the summary, هَذَا الْبَابِ. He added to that summary this section. Is it clear?
Yes.
So he called it the 11th section. Okay, I have a question for you. Why he added this at the end, not at the beginning? Yes.
Is it that you don't get confused that it's part of the book, that's actually a separate section that's been an addition to the original?
Yes. Perhaps, as you said, he wanted to keep the main body of the book according to the original book. And this is like an appendix. This is an appendix. So he added to the end. And maybe also he got this idea when he was in the process. It was not like these days, you know, that you copy paste. So when they start writing Muqaddam everything and they reach middle of the end of it, it's difficult, you know, to change it. So maybe then he decided to add this at the end. So for some practical reasons or for keeping the main body of the book based on the original book, he made this as appendix at the end.
And maybe as well, Sheikh, the main subject of the book is bigger than the part of the book. So maybe it would be more.
Yeah, but it could be one section and then.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we go to that phrase. So this much was about Al-Babul Hadi Ashar. Now, the next was فِيمَا يَجِبُ عَلَىٰ عَامَّةِ الْمُكَلَّفِينَ. The 11th section is about what is compulsory for all mukallafin. So now we want to explain this. First, what is compulsion? What is wujub? Yajibu. Yajibu comes from wujub. Wajaba yajibu. What does wujub literally mean and what does wujub technically mean? Literally, in Arabic, wajaba means to fall down, to drop, literally. To come down, to drop, to fall down. Suqut, drop, fall. For example, in the Quran we have a verse in which this is used in its literal sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the animal. فَإِذَا وَجَبَتْ جُنُوبُهَا. When its stomach or, you know, its back of the stomach or side of the animal body or stomach of the animal comes down. وَجَبَتْ. So this is not compulsory here. Here means سَقَطَ. But technically, when we say وَجُوب, it means something that you are asked to do and there is no chance of not doing. So unlike mustahab that you are asked to do, but even if you don't do it, you are not blamed or punished, wajib is something that necessarily you have to do it. In usul, we talked about this. You know, these sciences that we study, one helps the other. Mm-hmm. Yes? So, he says, Al-wujub fil-lugha means literally al-thubut was-sughut. When something is settled, when something drops or falls, this is the literal meaning of wujub. وَمِنْهُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى فَإِذَا وَجَبَتْ جُنُوبُهَا. Junub here is the plural for jamb. Junub is not opposite to north. Junub here is plural for jamb. Jamb means side. Wastilahan. But technically, al-wajib huwa ma yudhammu tarikuhu ala ba'd al-wujub. Wajib is something that the one who doesn't bring it, doesn't do it, tarik. Tarik means the one who doesn't do it. Pardon?
Tarik.
Yeah. The one who fails to do it would be blamed. Yuthammu. He would be blamed. Ala ba'd al-wujub. In different ways. Blamed in dunya, in akhirah. Anyway, he would be blamed. He would deserve blame or punishment. وهو على قسمين. You remember one of the divisions of wajib was this one. Something which is compulsory is either compulsory for everyone or it is enough if some people take care of it. Okay? هُوَ عَلَى قِسْمَيْن. Wajib is one of the two types. وَاجِبٌ عَيْنًا. Something which is compulsory for all. وَهُوَ مَا لَا يَسْقُطُ عَنِ الْبَعْضِ بِقِيَامِ الْبَعْضِ الْآخَرِ بِهِ. Something that would not be taken away from some when other people do it. So if some people do it, it would not
be taken away.
Go away, it still would remain on others. وَوَاجِبٌ كِفَايَةً. But sometimes it's وَاجِبِ كِفَائِي. وَهُوَ بِخِلَافِ. It's different from that. It means that when some people do it, take care of the wajib, then other people would be exempted. Why we mention this classification? In order to explain that معرفه اصول الدين, knowing principles of religion, is واجب عيني. Okay? والمعرفه من القسم الاول. Knowledge, understanding of what? Of اصول الدين, knowing God, is واجب عيني. فَلِذَٰلِكَ قَالَ. And this is why قَالَ, Allah Mahdi said, يَجِبُ عَلَىٰ عَامَّةِ الْمُكَلَّفِينَ. It's compulsory for all مُكَلَّفِينَ. Okay? Who is مُكَلَّف? المكلف هو الإنسان الحي البالغ العاقل. The one who is obligated, the one who is responsible, you know, religiously responsible, is الإنسان. So animals are not مكلف. Yeah? Animals are not مكلف. They are not responsible. So must be human being. Hay. Must be alive. If someone is dead, at this time he is not mukallaf. When he was alive, and if he had other conditions, he was mukallaf. But now he is not mukallaf. Al-insan, al-hay. So life is one of the conditions of taklif. Yes? Al-baligh, the one who religiously is mature. So a child before becoming baligh is not responsible. Okay? He's not mukallaf. A child, of course, if a child does good things, he can be rewarded, but he would not be punished for bad things. Okay? A child before reaching the age of maturity. Al-aqil must be also someone whose mental faculty is okay. Someone who is mentally, you know, not able to understand, to discern between right and wrong. A person who is like mad, he's not mukallaf. So aql is a condition. Here we don't mean to be wise. Wisdom is not condition. Aql means to be sane, huh? To have understanding, ability to discern between right and wrong. So, فالميت والصبي والمجنون ليسوا بمكلفين. The one who is dead, a child, and a mad person. These are not mukallaf. Okay? We said يجب على عامة المكلفين من معرفة أصول الدين. Now let us see what do we mean by أصول الدين. أصول is plural for what? أصل. What is أصل?
Source.
أصل is something on which you build. Or you put something else, something on which you rely, or you put something, no? It's like foundation. Okay, we translate it principle, but you have to know that in Arabic, asl means root, foundation. Okay? وَهُوَ مَا يَبْتَنِي عَلَيْهِ غَيْرُهُ. Asl is something that other things rely on it, depend on it. Like a tree. For the tree, what is asl? Root. ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها for some. Asluha sabit means the roots of this blessed tree, this pure, blessed, and pleasant tree, is strong and is well, you know, rooted. Asluha sabit wa far'uha fi sama, and the branches are in the sky. So asl means root, foundation. Is it clear? And deen, what is deen? Again, the literal meaning and the technical meaning. Ad-deen lughatan, literally, lugha means in Arabic language, literally, it means al-jaza, reward. Or in a general sense, because reward is normally used in the positive sense, but something that you would receive as outcome of your action can be reward, can be punishment. Like we say, Malik Yawm al-Din. What does Deen mean there?
Day.
Yawm is day. Yes.
Day of.
Deen means the
day of jaza.
Jaza. Yawm al-Din means the day of jaza. You would see the reward and punishment of your actions.
Outcome is good.
Recompense. Yeah. And there is a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the footnote, it gives you also the reference. It is mentioned in Ma'an al-Akhbar by Shaykh al-Saduq, Khisal of Shaykh al-Saduq, Tuhaf al-Uhul of Ibn Shu'bah. The hadith is this. كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ. In the same way that you behave, you will be judged. In the same way that you treat, you will be treated. كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَمْ. How do you act? Then you will be treated based on your action. But technically, وَاسْتِلَاحًا هُوَ الطَّرِيقَ. Deen, اسْتِلَاحًا, technically is طَرِيقَ وَالشَّرِيعَ. طَرِيقَ means path. شَرِيعَ means path. But you know, literally Sharia, we say Sharia now, you know Sharia, yeah? But you know, what is the literal meaning of Sharia? It's very beautiful. Sharia is different from river. For example, we say Sharia Furat. Furat is the river, Euphrates, but Sharia is different. No. Sometimes rivers are deep. Okay? So, if you go on the side of the river, mm-hmm. you may not be able to, for example, take water. So sometimes there are some little path that takes you to the river, next to the river. Mm-hmm. Or maybe a little branch of water is coming out. So this little path that connects you to the river, it's called Sharia.
A stream. A stream.
Like a stream, but
in
this way. Can be a stream or can be a path that takes you to the river. So Islamic Sharia is something that takes us to the main river, inshallah. If it is well understood, unfortunately, sometimes it's not understood properly, but if it is well understood, as our scholars tell us, that's the Sharia. So Tariqa is the path. It's general. It can be a road. But Sharia is always for water, next to a river. Okay?
So Sharia is only for water?
Yes, literally. But now we say Sharia, Tariqa, we mean religion. Here means religion, but literally this is... وَهُوَ الْمُرَادُ هُنَا. Here, when we use deen, we mean religion. We mean technically, not jaza. Okay. This fan, I said fan means here what?
Science.
Discipline. Science. This discipline is called in different ways. One of the names is Usuluddin. Summiya hadha al-fannu Usula din. Why Usula?
Second subject.
Ah, the same thing we said, you know, it's a second object. Mm-hmm. This is called Usula din. The roots, the principles of religion. Why? Because all other religious sciences rely on this. If you don't have this proper aqidah, if you don't have proper understanding of this, all other sciences are without foundation. This is why aqaid is very important. Yeah? Aqaid is very important. Even sometimes I believe aqaid can be more important than teaching akhlaq. Sometimes. Why? Because when someone has moral problem, it means a person has, for example, a building and the second floor is loose. Sometimes the way to fix this is to look at the foundation. Maybe foundation is, you know, not strong. Yeah? If someone's aqidah is strong and correct, then akhlaq should come naturally, like fruits or leaves. Okay? Of course, fixing aqaid also needs akhlaq. So it's not just studying aqaid. You should have openness of the heart when you study aqaid. Okay? They are connected. But I'm talking about science of aqaid and science of akhlaq. So, وَسُمِّيَ هَذَا الْفَنُّ أُسُولَ الدِّينِ. This discipline is called أُسُولَ الدِّينِ because سَائِرَ الْعُلُومِ الدِّينِيَّةِ. Other religious sciences, مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ, like the science of hadith, the science of fiqh, the science of tafsir, مَبْنِيَّةٌ عَلَيْهِ. They are built upon this. They rely on this. Okay? فَإِنَّهَا مُتَوَقِّفَةٌ. Because all these sciences, fiqh, hadith, tafsir, they depend on what? فَإِنَّهَا مُتَوَقِّفَةٌ عَلَى صِدْقِ الرَّسُولِ. They all depend on truthfulness of the Prophet. If you cannot establish the fact that Prophet was truthful and honest, then there is no value in studying hadith or tafsir or fiqh. So you have to establish that Rasulullah told us truth. وَصِدْقُ الرَّسُولِ مُتَوَقِّفٌ عَلَى صُبُوتِ الْمُرْسِلِ. And truthfulness of the messenger depends on having the one who sent the messenger, Mursal, the sender, which is God. Thubut means existence. So you have to be able to prove the existence of God. Otherwise, you cannot talk about truthfulness of the messenger of God. So there must be a God who has sent this person. So if you want to establish said the truthfulness, honesty of the Prophet, you have to prove that there is God. وَصِفَاتِهِ. You have to argue and prove and demonstrate what are good qualities, what are the positive, affirmative qualities of God. وَعَدْلِهِ. In particular, his justice. وَامْتِنَاءِ الْقُبْحَ عَلَيْهِ. Inshallah, we will explain this later. We are still in the Muqaddamat. Inshallah, we will explain this later. One of the things that we need is to show that it's impossible for God to commit something which is morally wrong, something which is ugly. قَبِيح means morally wrong, ugly. Yeah? What does he mean? We will explain this later. Suppose someone says, I believe that God exists, but maybe God wants, na'udhu billah, to deceive us. So God has sent a person to deceive us. So what he says can be wrong. So you have to be able to prove existence of God. You have also to prove that God never deceives. Yeah, what God says through his prophet must be true and must be for our benefit. Or why God doesn't give miraculous power to a liar? These are the things that you have to be able to establish logically, rationally. So we will discuss all these things later. So knowing usul al-din is a prerequisite for hadith, tafsir, fiqh, and all other religious sciences.
What's the meaning of sa'ir?
Sa'ir means other. Sa'ir sometimes means other, sometimes means all, here means other. This is one name. So sometimes it is called usul al-din. Sometimes it is called ilm usul. But be careful, when we say ilm usul, we don't mean usul fiqh. Means usul din, usul aqa'id. Like we call it ilm kalam, ilm aqa'id, ilm tawheed. Some people call it ilm tawheed. So when we say ilm usul, means again usul din. وَهُوَ مَا يُبْحَثُ فِيهِ. The science of usul here, the science of the roots or principles of religion, is the science in which unity of God is discussed. Yobhatho fi. Yobhatho fi. This is discussed. Pardon?
From Bahth?
From Bahth.
Going to Mubahath.
Mubahath. It means that science comes with mubahatha. Yes? Not yuqra'u fi. It's not you read. Or yokta, yobhath. Must be. So without bahs, there is no study. Yes? There must be bahs. Yobhathu fi an wahdaniyatillah ta'ala. Unity of God. Wahdaniyah. Unity of God. Wasifatihi. Attributes of God. Wa'adlihi. Although justice of God is one of the qualities, because it's so important, we single out justice. Otherwise, adl is one of the sifat, isn't it? But because it's very important, we mention this separately. Wa'nubuwwatil anbiya. We talk about prophethood of the prophets. وَالْإِغْرَارْ بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ النَّبِي. إغْرَار means to accept, to acknowledge. إغْرَار sometimes means to admit, to confess. You know, sometimes إغْرَار means اعتراف. But here means to declare, to acknowledge. بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ النَّبِي. What prophet brought. This is the message. Including Sharia, whatever the Prophet says. Wa imamatil a'imma. And the leadership of the Imams. Imam is divinely appointed leader. Okay? Wal ma'ad, resurrection. So these are the things that we discuss in ilm usul al-din. Okay? I feel we need a little bit break, maybe. Get energy, we continue. Yes. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.